Book of Job, chapter 2. I'm going to read verse 9 and 10. This was after all of the calamities came on Job. And you can read them in the earlier part of this chapter. Then said his wife unto him, Mrs. Job said to Job, Dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. She knew that as long as he had his integrity, he would keep suffering. But she said, Dost thou still retain thine integrity? He was governed by integrity. And that's why he didn't curse God. Are we governed by integrity? You say, oh, I'd never curse God. I'm just not sure what she meant by curse God. Come on. It was obviously involved blame God. Come on. Have you ever heard someone say, I don't know why God is doing this. You've cursed God. Where's your integrity? Or perhaps someone said, I just can't understand. I can't believe it. Why this is happening to me? Why would God let this happen to me? Job answered that. He said unto her, Thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. And so when you say, why would God let this happen to me? You're speaking like a foolish man or a foolish woman. And then Job said, What shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? Evil we think of as something weird, wicked, and perverted, okay? It's the contrast of good. He said, Should we only get good? Should not non-good come from God? He calls it evil. In this did not Job sin with his lips. Job was not going to say, If only God would have answered my prayers and took this away. I don't understand why he lets it continue as he does. Those are not words of integrity. Integrity, like many words we commonly use, and we use them correctly, but how would we define them? I thought about this with integrity. Well, what's the definition of it? I use it correctly, but I couldn't define it. So I went to dictionary.com. Now I have paper book dictionaries in my office, but then I have to get up out of my chair and walk over to the shelf, okay? And so I just went to dictionary.com, and then we're looking at the definition of integrity as it's used today. Then we're going to go to the Bible times. Adherence to moral and ethical principles. A person with integrity holds fast to moral and ethical principles. They will not bend them just to please co-workers. They will not bend them just to keep the neighbors happy. Dictionary.com. Defined it as soundness of moral character. The condition of being whole or entire. Now remember that one, because we're going to come back to it. The condition of being whole or complete. Now, the synonyms that they gave were honesty, virtue, principles, sincerity. Some of the antonyms for integrity were deceit, dishonesty, incompleteness, dishonor, and disgrace. Now, what I want to do is consider how the Bible uses or defines, if you please, the word, the subject of integrity. The term integrity appears 16 times in the Bible, and they're all in the Old Testament. Now I got out my Strong's Concordance and found integrity and counted them, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, okay. I was online and I looked for, you know, well, no, it wasn't online. It was a Bible program that I have, software program that I have for Bible study. And I typed in integrity and boop, up top 16 times. In Genesis, it's there 2 times. In 1 Kings, it's there 1 time. In Job, in addition to chapter 2, verse 9 and 10, it's there 3 more times. In the book of Psalms, you'll find the word integrity 6 times. And in Proverbs, 3 times. The Bible word for integrity is defined as innocence, completeness. Now remember, one of the definitions from dictionary.com on how the word integrity is used today was a matter of completeness. And so it was used in that sense also in the Bible. Now, these all have to do with a person's character. This matter of integrity has to do with character. A person who has integrity has good character. But a person who does not have good character, you will not usually find them displaying integrity. Mm-hmm. And though the word integrity is not used in the New Testament, comparable terms that mean what integrity means would be sincerity, truth, a pure heart. You look up Bible verses regarding those three. Oh, good night. On truth, in my software program, I typed in truth. And there's so many, it tells you you've got to, designate a smaller number. It's not going to give you all of them that are there. So truth is there. Now, of course, not every time truth is used would it be used in a sense that would be comparable to integrity. You'd have to isolate them and realize that. But sincerity. Now, let's look at some of these. Let's go to 1 Kings. Chapter 9. 1 Kings, chapter 9. We're going to start at verse 4. If thou wilt walk before me as David thy father walked, in integrity of heart, and in uprightness. You see how integrity and uprightness are put together. Because a person of integrity will be upright. A person of integrity will be righteous in their living. In integrity of heart, in uprightness, to do according to all that I have commanded thee, and will keep my statutes and my judgments, then I will establish the throne of thy kingdom upon Israel forever, as I promised to David thy father, saying, there shall not fail thee a man upon the throne of Israel. But if ye shall at all turn from following me, ye or your children, and will not keep my commandments and my statutes, you see, if they had integrity, they would be keeping his commandments and statutes, which I have set before you. But you go and serve other gods and worship them, then I will cut off Israel. And so what he's saying is, if they would be people of integrity, God would bless them, God would lead them, God would provide for them, and that's the same thing for your life and mine. If we will be people of integrity, God will work for us. God will bless us. Now, listen, I can just imagine somebody thinking who's going through hard times, difficulty. I can just about thinking, so what happens? Am I not a person of integrity if I'm going through this? If I were a person of integrity, you're saying God would bless me and God would provide, and I'm not experiencing that. Job said to his wife, should God only bring good? No. He may bring... We like to soften it because we want to... We don't like to think that of God, that he would bring something into our lives that we would not think is good, okay? So we say, he'll allow it, okay? He didn't cause it, but he allowed it. No, there's sometimes he causes it.
That's right.
Now, I don't know how to distinguish between when he causes it and when he allows it. And if I will focus my attention on trying to figure out if he caused it or allowed it, what difference does it make? I've got the same problem, and what I need to do is, like Job, be depending upon God. In all of this, did not Job sin? I didn't say it would be easy. I didn't say it wouldn't be hard. I didn't say it wouldn't be a burden, but it is what it is. This is life. As a preacher we once had at Grace, he's now the director of a mission agency. It just seemed to fit into his message so many times. He would just simply say, deal with it. preach 5 nights long, every message. 2 or 3 times it would fit in there that he'd say, just deal with it. Deal with it. And that's what we have to do. While I was going over this message, I was thinking about what we've gone through, Mrs. Hain and I, in these last couple of months. And it's hard when it's somebody else. My own pain I can deal with differently than I can deal with her pain. I can praise God and rejoice in my pain.
Amen.
But I can't rejoice in her pain.
Right.
That's hard.
That's right.
Now I came to a place where I said to God, and I said, Lord, I don't know how, and you know I don't feel it, but I do praise you for what you're letting happen to happen. I didn't feel that way. But I knew it was the right thing, right way to be.
Glory to God.
Now listen, integrity of heart. This isn't just a mental experience. This isn't just the knowledge of this. It's the heart. Is this how we really feel? No, I don't really feel that way a lot of times. But just because I don't feel that way doesn't mean that I shouldn't. And then I have to go to God and say, you know how I feel. I don't want to feel this way, but you know this is how I do feel. So forgive me and deal with me and help me. You know, we've got to get over this idea that somehow we've got to always have this facade of super spiritual strength.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, God knows when it's a facade and when it's real.
Right.
You know, one of the most harmful things I think that we can experience is when we learn all of the right terminology. Boy, I can talk the talk. I think it wasn't it Brian Pratt, you were interacting with him, and he said something to the effect about not just talking the talk, but walking the walk.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, let's go to Job chapter, well, we're there. Let's go to Psalm 7. Psalm 7. In Psalm 7, and verse 8, The Lord shall judge the people. Yeah, he does. The Lord shall judge the people. Judge me, O Lord. It's one thing to say the Lord will judge the people, others, but when you say judge me, that's a hard pill to swallow. Judge me, O Lord, according to my righteousness and according to mine integrity that is in me. And God knows what righteousness is there, and he knows what integrity is there. And if he judges us according to them, how will we be? Will we be okay? He doesn't anticipate us being perfect. That's something in his camp. He knows we're not going to be without sin. That's why he gave us, if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. But he does expect us to be real. Amen. Genuine.
Yeah. Come on.
If we're weak, let him know we're weak. You know, it's a good thing if everybody has a friend, a person. It might be a spouse. It might be a natural brother or sister. It might be a brother or sister in the Lord. And you're only going to usually have one, maybe two. Don't expect to have more than that. Only one, maybe two, that you can talk to. And you can, whether it's send them a text or a telephone call, and you can say, please pray for me. I'm feeling really mean today. I'm feeling grumpy. Okay, and you'll feel grumpy until the pastor calls. How are you today? Oh, I'm just fine. How are you, Pastor? Facade. God knows it. And so when we're dealing in Psalms here, he says, judge me according to my righteousness and according to mine integrity that is in me. And then let's go to Proverbs chapter 19. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 1. Better is the poor that walketh in his integrity than he that is perverse in his lips and is a fool. Better to be poor and have integrity. You say, well, I qualify on that poor part. What about integrity?
Uh-oh.
It doesn't say just it doesn't just say be poor. It says better to be poor and walk in integrity. Poor people can sin just as much as rich people. And listen to me. We, because of our economic status, we are more prone to look down on somebody that's got some money. And we can wonder, are they really godly? They talk about the Lord. Is it real or is it phony because they're rich? Listen, rich people can love God just as much as a poor person can. And a poor person can be just as ungodly as a rich person can. Now, this has nothing to do with godliness, but I heard about the fellow that owns Starbucks. And he spoke out about the criticism of billionaires. And he reminded people that his parents, I didn't completely hear the whole thing, but his parents lived in what we might call today public housing. And when he started out, he didn't have, we'd say, two nickels to rub together. But he said, I worked hard and I created what I have, and yes, now I'm a billionaire. And then he told how he helps people. And it's the same old adage, It isn't poor people that help other poor people. It's some rich people who have some money to have a business to be able to hire somebody that can help people that are without. Now, I didn't say all of them do it. I just said they can, and many of them do. It's very possible that where you work, the person definitely had more money than you. They owned the business. And I know from owning a business, they own all of the headaches that go with it.
Yeah.
And when you sit down and watch your TV at 9 o'clock at night, they might, but more than likely, they're sitting in a room going over some paperwork.
Yeah.
How do you know that? My daddy was dirt poor at one time, and he worked hard, and he got to a point that you wouldn't ever call him rich, but he had 3 nickels to rub together, okay? He was comfortable, and he could spend some money and not be afraid he couldn't pay the next bill. But I wasn't there, but I remember hearing stories how they would take newspaper and put it up on the walls because the walls had no insulation and the cracks were too big and the cold air was coming through, and they covered the walls with newspaper just to keep the cold out. But he was able to hire some people when he did finally make it. He hired some people. And your boss hires people. You have a job. You have a boss. Thank God for your boss. Because if he wasn't there and didn't have the company, you wouldn't have a job. You say, well, I just go somewhere else. Listen, socialism, when it corrupts everything.
Oh, you better believe it.
And that's what we're talking about. How do I get off of integrity of socialism? I don't know. It's not hard.
That's right. They're opposites.
Yeah. Yes, they are opposites. And so you have to have character to have integrity. And though the word integrity is not used in the New Testament, a comparable term that means what integrity means is, as I said, sincerity, truth, and a pure heart. Now, there's many Bible characters who were people of integrity. Nehemiah, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now, there were 3 fellows that had some integrity. Job said, what, are we only supposed to get good at the hand of God, not evil? You talk like a foolish woman. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they're the guys who said, hey, you can put us in the fiery furnace. Our God will take care of us. But if he doesn't, we're still praising him. Daniel. How about Esther? When her uncle said, you've come for a time such as this. Okay? And Esther was a woman of character. But Joseph is a fine example of character. The story of Joseph, hated by his brothers, sold into slavery by his brothers. Left in prison and forsaken by those whom he held. Finally, he helps the king of Egypt, and then even he turns on him when his wife lies about him. To have integrity is to be faithful regardless of what you experience. If you have integrity, you will be faithful to God regardless of what you're experiencing. I didn't say it would be easy. Oh, no, it's going to be hard. But have you ever heard the word grace?
Amen.
God said he'll
praise
give it.
God.
You won't always know when you're getting it. And you won't, listen, don't go by feelings. Because you aren't going to feel too godly. You're not going to feel too religious when you're going through a hard time. Just you keep your integrity and don't curse God. Oh, I know, I never curse God. Don't blame him. Don't question him. Okay? Because those are forms of cursing God. What does faithfulness produce? Faithfulness produces integrity. If you have integrity, you'll be faithful. Turn it around. Faithfulness will produce integrity in you. Now listen, sometimes, some situations, I'm going back to Job. Here, hurry up. Go back to Job chapter 2 in verse 11. Now when Job's three friends heard of all this evil that was come upon him, and then from 11 to 13, they got their heads together and said, look, we ought to go visit our friend Job. Now remember, Job was pretty, he was a man of status. And these three friends, okay, they said, we need to go visit our friends. They got there, they didn't even recognize him. By now, he's sitting in the dirt, scraping the boils with pieces of pottery. Good night. They didn't even recognize him. When they got there, you know what they did for 7 days and seven nights? It says it in there. They just sat there silent. Sometimes, you don't need to say anything. Sometimes you ought not say something. A lot of times a person that we know is going through troubles and you think, boy, I'd like to go see him, but I don't know what to say. You don't have to say anything. If you feel like you have to say something, just tell him, Henry, I'm praying for you. I just want to stop and be with you. Now, if Henry wants to talk and opens up, that's another matter. But Job didn't feel like talking. There's times you don't feel like talking, but you need to know you have a friend. You need to know that somebody cares. Let me share. And when you do start talking, make sure it's things that God put in your heart. I was looking for some CDs. Pastor shared a CD with us, and I've been enjoying it. And so I went online and went to YouTube to try and find more, okay? And while I'm there, I saw these testimonies, comments that came in. One was a pianist, another was a vocalist. And so people, you know, listen. Here. Listen to these comments. This was to a pianist. The man says, I was homeless, got into drugs, went into prison. Then I got to know Jesus. Amen. Amen. It was in prison. He got to know Jesus. Most of them are jailhouse religion testimonies, huh? But not all of them. Not all of them. I got to know Jesus. He changed my life. Now I have a home. Remember, he was homeless. He said, now I have a home, a wife, a lovely daughter, and a new identity, a child of God. Hallelujah, he says. And then another one said this, different music thing. Your music pulled me from the brink of suicide. This lady says, my mom would sing these songs to my sister and I at bedtime. I know every word to all of them. I started singing to your music, and I have been on an uphill, better path. I listen to this mix nightly. Thank you. I will see you on the other side. My, what a blessing. You know, I went there to hear music, and then I started reading some of these comments. Another one says, I was a Muslim, and now I have believed in Jesus Christ for 13 years. Thank you, Lord. Then finally, I am an Indian, non-Christian, who studied in Catholic school, but found my way through it, through the Catholic school. And now I know Jesus Christ as my Savior. Amen. You say, what's that got to do with integrity? Integrity and righteousness. And where righteousness lives, it will praise the Lord about other people that have found what you found or are finding. Father in heaven, thank you for your love, your grace, and your goodness. Even as we go to prayer time, we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Good night, folks.